Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Dear Lord, the scriptures that we have been looking at in this season. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I hope everyone had a blessed week. I had a very, very good week. Let's read. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Then not even Christ has..." Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So evidently there was an argument going on about that. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If it is true that the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's saying that if there is no resurrection, then we are just making noise. Oh, but thanks be to God, you and I don't serve a dead God. We and I don't serve a dead Jesus. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He says that if you only have hope in this life, then of all men, we are the most to be pitied. But thanks be to God that because of Jesus Christ, we are not to be pitied anymore. But because of Jesus, oh, we have the very nature of God. We have the very life of God. And we have a glorious destiny because of what Jesus Christ did. If that's you, say a big amen. Glory be to God. If Jesus Christ didn't die and he wasn't raised from the dead, then we have all men most to be pitied. But thanks be to God. He says, by one man, Adam, in the beginning, Adam messed it up big time, God's plan. But through him, death came. Through one man also, the Lord Jesus Christ, life and forgiveness of sin has been made available to all. He says, many shall be made alive. And so it's possible to experience the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ in this season. In this season, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That was the heart cry of Paul. He's saying that I may know him. That I may know him. That should be our heart cry as well. Lord, I want to know you and experience the power of your resurrection. It's one thing to know about somebody. It's one thing to know somebody. It's one thing to know about God. It's one thing to know about Jesus in a general sense. It's one thing also to have a day by day walk with him and to have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's what counts. My Lord and my God. There was a famous actor in this country, and he used to travel all over the nation acting. And every time he finished his presentation, he would recite Psalm 23. And so on one of those days, he did that. And he recited the Psalm 23 with all the nuances and all the things that an actor would do. And read it perfectly. And when he finished, the people gave him a big round of applause. And there was an old saint, an old minister in the building. And he went to the actor and he said, may I repeat the Psalm 23? He went through and he wasn't as loud and he didn't have all the things that go with reading. But when he got to the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when he finished, an old woman pulled out her handkerchief and wiped her face and started crying. And other people in the place were so emotional about it. And also some started crying or they were near the point of tears. And others were crying. And so they asked the actor, this dear old saint, that, I mean, what is the difference? When I did it, people were clapping all right. But when you said it, it seems it did something to the crowd. My Lord, I love his response. He said, my Lord, I know the shepherd. I know who the shepherd is. And throughout all my life, the ups and downs, I have him in my heart and I have a relationship with him. And so when I was speaking and reading the Psalm, repeating the Psalm 23rd Psalm, that is what was coming out of me. And that is what went all over the crowd. He said, the difference is, you know the Psalm, I know the shepherd. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, it's one thing to know about God. But it's one thing to know him as your shepherd. It's one thing to know him as your Lord. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The psalmist said, it's one thing to know him. And so our heart cry is, the Lord, I want to have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I want to know you. And not only know you, but know the power of your resurrection. Know the multiplication effect of your life in my life. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus was only one. Was only one, but on the cross, he went there and made life available, the very nature and the life of God available to man. And everybody that comes into the kingdom of God is as a result of him giving his life. My Lord, his life keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. He gave it. That is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying that now I want to, number one, the power of his resurrection is already in the air. I want to experience it in my life. And not only that, I want my life to keep multiplying and influence others. Hallelujah. That was the heart cry of Paul. That should be our heart cry as well. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 12. You see, this life is a race. Jesus Christ came and did his part, did his portion. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, please. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I get excited going through these things. Thank you, Father. You get excited about the word of God. That's when it works. Notice what he says. Oh, Lord, my Lord. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. My Lord, this portion of scripture encourages me so much. You see, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. We men divided it in chapters and verses to help us for reference sake. So you see, these are letters that were written to churches. I mean, you never wrote to your, no one ever wrote a letter to your aunt and say, Auntie Susie, chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 3. No, nobody does that. So this was written in as a letter. And so what is written in chapter 12 is a continuation of what he's saying in chapter 11. And in chapter 11, he lists out all these great heroes of faith. And in chapter 11, verse 40, he says, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And then he continues to say that, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What are the cloud of witnesses that he's talking about? He's talking about all these heroes of faith that he has already described in chapter 11. The scene here that Paul is being referenced is that of like you are in a stadium and running a race, and you are surrounded by fans that are cheering you on and saying, go on, go on, go on, run the race, go for it and win. That is what is being referenced here. And so if you have loved ones who have already gone up to heaven, my Lord, they are within this crowd and cheering you and mentioning your name. Go for it. The race that God has set before you, run it and finish it. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of your faith. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And the thing is, he says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, you and I were the joy that he saw way out there, and he despised the shame. He despised all that was going on, knowing that God wanted to bring his family back, and he had to go through that process, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Then he says that, consider him. Consider him. Consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you do not grow weary or faint-hearted. For you have not yet resisted unto blood. So many times, no matter what is going on, I would tell myself that, my Lord, I haven't just gotten to the point where I have to resist unto blood. No matter what may be going on through in your life, you can say that, oh, I will run the race that is set before me. I will fulfill the destiny that God has for me. I will fulfill the plan that God has for me. I have not resisted yet unto blood. Don't grow weary. My Lord, we do not grow weary. We consider the joy that was set before us. The joy that Jesus considered that. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Oh, he came and fulfilled the plan of God for his life. And when we keep our eyes on him as well, we will fulfill the plan of God for our lives. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to God. And so, Jesus, when he got to the point when he was ready to go into Jerusalem, he was so focused on what he was going to accomplish. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 53. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Luke 9, 51 to 53. Glory be to God. He knew the reason why he came. It says, when the day drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the days drew near, He set his face to go up to any end, verse 52. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. His face was set toward Jerusalem. He was so focused on the reason why he had come. We get to the point that nothing else matters in life. What God wants us to accomplish is all that matters. You see, it takes focus to accomplish and to fulfill what God has for us. His face was set toward Jerusalem. His face was set as if he was going to Jerusalem. He knew that the season had come. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 11, please, and see what happened when he got to Jerusalem. Mark chapter 11, glory be to God, my Lord and my God. I am getting excited. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Listen to what he says. Mark chapter 11, glory be to God. Are you ready for this? Thank you, Lord. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the field. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and entered into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to it, if you could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. Thank you, Father. Notice that when he got to his destination, his provision, well, he knew where his provision was. That's significant. He knew where his provision was. He knew where his provision was. Oh, my Lord and my God. And he said, when you go, they will ask you that why are you untying the colt? Notice that the colt was also tied. The colt was tied. But step, we'll come back to that point. He knew where his provision was. God knows where your provision is. God knows where your provision is. God knows where your job is. God knows where your spouse is. God knows where that job is. God knows where your provision is. He knew where his provision was. And the colt was the best form of transportation they had at the time. When I remember when we moved across the Atlantic to come into this nation as by the direction of the Lord, within a few weeks, someone gave us a car. That was our cult. God touched the house of somebody and they blessed us with a car. That was our, God had that provision already ahead for us. And since then, he's been so good to us. And we've graduated. It was necessary for what we were going to do. And since that time, I say this to the glory of God, we've never had a car payment. We don't know what a monthly car payment is. To the glory of God. God has had provision ahead of us. He's gone ahead of us because of what he's called us to do. Thank you, Father. And the provision was already there. But notice that the colt was tied. There's a message in there, so this, we can spend a whole month in there. That the colt was tied. We were in the world under the bondage of the enemy. And when he came, he delivered us. You remember this? We remember in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, when God sent Moses to the Egyptians, he said, "Tell the people, tell Pharaoh that let my people go, that they may serve me." God delivers us that we may serve him. God delivers us that we may serve him. He says, "Untie the colt." And later on, when they came out in Exodus 23:25, he said, "If you shall serve the Lord, he will bless your bread and take sickness away from you." The colt was the one that Jesus Christ chose. My Lord, we get to the point where we say, "Lord Jesus, take my life and do something with it." And another thing that we see here is Jesus rode on the back. He rode on the back of that colt. And people were laying their cloaks on the ground and palm trees. But who was stepping on all those things? It was the colt. Think about it. The colt, they were praising Jesus, but the colt got to have a taste of what was going on. My Lord, when we yield our life to Jesus, when we yield our lives to God, oh, there are benefits in doing that. Hallelujah. The colt experienced that. Experienced a portion of that. He was just one happy colt in town. Jesus is riding on my back triumphantly into Jerusalem. Oh, we get to that point and say, "Lord Jesus, oh, not only my back, but my hands, my eyes, my whole life, take it, oh Lord, and ride on it to influence other people. I choose to give my life to you and to serve you. Let my people go that they may serve me." In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning I pray that you are released into the fullness of what God has for your life. Amen. Glory be to God. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. The cold was part of the process. The cold was part of the prophet. The process. There are benefits in serving God, I tell you. Oh, but that serving God should, and fulfilling his plan for our life should be the most uttermost thing, importance in our life. In Psalm 68, verse 19, he talks about the fact that we walk in the expectation of receiving daily benefits from God as you make a choice to serve the Lord. Psalm 68 and verse 19. "Oh Lord, blessed be the Lord that daily loads us with benefits." That daily loads us with benefits. Daily, 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 daily. His mercies and his goodness follow us every day. Let's look at it. "Oh Lord, my Lord and my God. Blessed be the Lord." The King James says, "Who daily loads us with benefit, even the God of our salvation." He loads us with benefits every day. Just walk in expectation every day. Just wake up every day and say, "Lord, let my life count for you today. No matter where I find myself, let my life count for you today." And I also am in expectation of your daily benefit. Daily, daily. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. There are benefits on the table. When we apply for jobs, we ask, well, what are the benefits? This cult got part of the benefit. But serving God should be our priority. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 9 talks about things that accompany salvation. There are other things on the salvation ticket. Though we speak in this case, yet in your case, we feel sure of better things that belong to salvation. Or the New King James says things, or King James says things that accompany salvation. But the choice and the decision has to be made. That Lord, ride on my back if you have to. Use my hands to lay hands on the sick. Take my mouth and make it a pulpit to preach to other people. Take my life and let it be a living epistle. Like Paul said, to be read of all men. Let my life count and be one of significance. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Mark chapter 11. We are not done there yet. There's something else we would go have us see here. My Lord, he went, verse 11, Mark 11, 11. He went into the temple, and when he had looked around, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So he went into the temple, and Jesus said he never does anything except what the Father reveals to him or shows him. So he went there, did an inspection, and then went away. Didn't do anything that day. The next day when they came, the following day, verse 15, when he came out, he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple, and he overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. My Lord, there's a deep real, something real deep in here as well. We know that he has made us the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, when God comes into our lives, anything in our life that doesn't glorify him, sickness or whatever the case might be, he comes in and drives those out and says, my house, is supposed to glorify God, not for things that are not pleasing to my Father. In this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, anything in your body, anything, it may be sickness, infirmity, whatever the case might be, I pray that the Lord Jesus steps in and does a clean sweep, that your life can glorify him, that your life can be used for his glory. Your body, which is his temple, may glorify him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. These are things that accompany salvation. Now, let's go back to the earlier point. He daily loads us with benefits. Just this week. You see, when you serve God, benefits accompany salvation. Paula said when she woke up earlier in the day, she just had a knowing, and she was praying and before stepping out for the day. And when she went out into the day, she met somebody, and she said, they started talking and then going on and on. And then the person said, I've been meaning to send this to the church, this amount of money to the church. Can you take it right now as you are here? And then she was at the right place at the right time. She took it and then she put it into the church, and we use it into the various outreaches. How, somebody said, how can I get this to happen to me? Said, this happens to me all the time. This happens to me all the time. God will have you at the right place at the right time. He said this happens to you because you are pastors. No, it happened. It was happening before we became pastors. It's the choice to serve God. Recently, so one of you shared a testimony. He said, I received money in the mail anonymously. That person is not a preacher. And then helped me with my bills. But the thing is, the choice has to be made to serve God. The plan of God for our lives is for one to be of significance. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. He says, let's turn there, Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Thank you, Lord. Jesus knew where his provision was. Jesus lived his life and fulfilled the plan of God that God had for him. We can also live our lives and fulfill what God has for us. Notice this, my Lord and my God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that see your good works, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is significant. Your life is meant, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Till now, till the earth ceases, salt will still have value in every nation. Salt preserves. It will be a commodity everywhere. That is what he's saying. It has global relevance. Your life is meant. You are not just meant to just come and be born and walk through the earth without any significance. No, our life, God wants us to live our life and to fulfill his plan. And wherever we find ourselves, we add taste to that place. And so in any area of your life where there is no taste, where there is no savor, where there is no color, where there is decadence, I pray this morning as you sit under the influence of God's word, may God restore the savor. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, glory. Oh, if what is happening on my in me, it comes on the outside, I'll raise the roof. Oh, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Wherever you find yourself as you cooperate with God and his plan for your life, you will be the light. Glory be to God. We are pacesetters. We are trailblazers. In our generation, we are redeemed to reign in life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ordained for a glorious destiny. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Our life is not meant to be pitied because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord, oh, I found a few things in the Bible that work, and I get so excited about it. A few things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Notice what he says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. Yes. He's called us to be pitied? No. He has called us to his own glory. Yes. Yes. My Lord and my God. He has given us all things. Some things, no, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. He's called us to his own glory. He's called us to his own glory. That should put a spring in your step when you get out in the morning with this in your heart. Oh, this day, he has called me to his own glory and excellence. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. My light will not be dim. My light will shine today. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. What do I need to do to fulfill the plan of God for my life? What do I need to do to fulfill what God is telling me to do. My Lord and my God. You see, all these Old Testament saints, at the age of 75, God was telling Abraham, I will make your name great, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I will make your name great. 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 Then we look at Isaac in Genesis 26. He says, Isaac went forward and waxed great. And he talks about the fact that we are children of promise like Isaac. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. So we are destined for greatness. There is that seed in us for us to add relevance wherever we go. And Jesus, I love this, before he left, he said, oh, you have seen John the Baptist. I'm paraphrasing what he said. But of all the prophets that were born in the Old Testament, none is greater than John the Baptist. But even the one that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And if we that are least in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist, who was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, think about the potential that we have. Think about it. Oh my Lord and my God. And that roll call is not a small roll call. Talk about Abraham, Isaac, Solomon, all these people, all the prophets. And you see that he that is least in the kingdom of God. You know the reason why? Because none of them was born again. None of them had God living in them in the same sense that we do. My Lord, our life, I pray in this season that we'll make a conscious effort that, Lord, I want my life to count no matter where I find myself. How do I get there? We need to take God's word as God speaking to us and say, Lord, as I study your word, as I hear it preach, reveal to me what you have, your plan for my life, what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How can I be of service to you? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Take the word of God as God speaking to you. Behind every scripture is the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He has spoken to us, what? By his Son. In the Old Testament, he says he spoke to our fathers by the prophet. And in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And we know from John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if he's saying that he's speaking to us by his Son, and his Son is the Word, then he's speaking. His Word is God speaking to us. Let's say it all together this morning. God's Word.
God's Word.
Oh, say it louder like you are in church. God's Word.
God's Word.
Is God.
Is God.
Speaking to me.
Speaking to me.
Amen. We come to God and say, Lord, speak to me through your word. He has spoken to us by his Son, by his Son, by his Son. And then in order to fulfill God's plan for our lives and his destiny for our lives, we must realize that when God speaks, he speaks according to his ability, not according to our inability. When God speaks, he speaks according to himself and his ability to perform. Not according to our capacity to perform. When he speaks according to his ability to deliver. And when he speaks according to his hand to deliver. Not according to our inability. That's so important. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 15. The mouth of the Lord. 1 Kings 8, 15, please. The mouth of the Lord has spoken, and his hand will deliver. And his hand will deliver. And his hand will deliver. I pray in this season that the word of God and his hand will deliver in your life. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to David, my father. His hand has fulfilled what he promised. My Lord, when God speaks, he's able to perform. When God speaks, he's able to perform according to his ability, not according to our ability. So to fulfill God's plan for our life, we must remain steadfast on the word of God. And as he continues to reveal to us, we are careful to obey and speak his word and see it fulfilled in our life. That's what Abraham had to do. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. That's what Abraham had to do. He says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. There we are back to the life of the dead again. And calls into existence things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Oh, Abraham got to that point and said, it doesn't matter. He refused to consider his body. He refused to consider the physical. He said he was fully convinced. And every time, in the process of time, he was delivered. To fulfill what God has called us to do, we must remain steadfast. Oh, we must remain steadfast and be fully convinced that he who has promised, he is able to deliver. The same one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same one will help you. This morning I pray, anything dead in your life that appears to be impossible, that appears that it will not come to pass, oh, I speak life to it in the mighty name of Jesus. May God bring life to the dead circumstances in our life. It's never too late for faith to deliver. It's never too late for God to deliver. As we stand on his word, and as we believe what he has said, oh, and call those things that be not as though they were. Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus after 4 days. They said, Master, please don't embarrass us. This has gone on for 4 days. This person is dead. Jesus said, John chapter 11, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He went to that tomb, and like I can see him like Jesus, just like my Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound in grave clothes came out. And when he came out, those same words again. Loose him and let him go. Anything that is dead in your life, I pray this morning, may God bring his very life into it and quicken it in the name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, I have so much here. But one thing we must also, to fulfill our destiny and the plan of God for our life, we must be prayerful. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me and I will show you. Maintain a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer should be to you like breathing. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Your best days ahead. He says, call to me, I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Maintain a lifestyle of prayer. And then, oh, also be at peace. Just be at peace all the time. Be still and know that he is the Lord. Be still and know that he is the Lord. When they go to the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, verse 3, he says, you shall hold your peace. Hold your peace and the Lord shall fight for you. And then later on he said, be still and know I am God. Don't be anxious. He's got it. You just have to do your part. Know what is in your part. Your part is to stay peaceful. Maintain a relationship with him. Just desire to serve the Lord with your all and everything. And then rejoice in the Lord always. You see, people commit suicide because they don't see a future. They don't see hope. But if you can see your future based on the word of God, if you can see yourself as what God has for you, you walk around joyful. I have a hope and I have a future. Rejoice in the Lord always, he told the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Father. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always let your joy always be flowing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Father. I'm beginning to finish. Paul, at some point, he says, finally, and he wrote that chapter, and then he wrote another chapter. So I'm wrapping up. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Maintain your joy level. And you know what he said in Isaiah? He says that with joy, we will draw. He says, maintain peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3, he says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And another place he said as well, with joy, you will draw waters out of the well of salvation. That is how we draw out of the well of salvation. And then finally, make the kingdom of God and his promotion. Seek that first above everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that others are looking for will be added to you. He doesn't have a problem with adding to you. He just doesn't want you to make that your focus. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all means all these things. And prior to that, he talks about the basic necessities of life. Keep your eyes on him. He will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on you. You are focused about what God has for you. He said he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Be passionate. Be passionate. What is God? What does he want me to do? And maintain that joy level as you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the finally. Hallelujah. Oh, I've preached myself happy. I can stay here all day long, I tell you. Let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Father. Talk to the Lord this morning. Make it your heart cry that I may know him, the apostle says. That I may know him. Lord, let me experience the power of your resurrection. Oh, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Lord, I don't want my life to abide alone. But as I put my life into your hands, oh, you went into Jerusalem triumphantly and you overcame so that I can overcome. And so, Lord, help me. I want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are watching online or if you are listening to this and you say, I want what you are talking about. I don't want to just know about God. I want to have a close relationship with the shepherd. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you're here and you don't know him, the key is to know him. The key is to know him. Just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I thank you for your son. I believe he was raised from the dead. Thank you for sending him. Today, I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. And thank you that I'm in the family of God and I'm saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and we give you praise. We give you praise and we give you glory. Talk to God this morning again and say, Lord, let me experience your very best in this season. What you have for me, Lord. Anything in my life, any area of your life where you need the Lord to step in and to turn it around. Lift up your voice to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Lift up your voice. There is no case, no situation that has gone too far for God to undertake. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice this morning and talk to God. Lord, I want to experience your very best in my life. Daily, 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 daily. Daily, you said you daily load me with benefits. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. We worship you, O Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Your word says, if you did not spare your own son, but gave him to us, how will you not, in addition to him, freely give us all things? Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Hands to God this morning. Oh, just repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you did for me. I receive your benefits that accompany salvation. And Lord, I yield my life to you. Take it and use it for your glory. And in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May you see his benefits in your life this week and fill your mouth with testimonies. Thank you, Father. May goodness and mercies follow you this and every single day of this week. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.